And so, with the aid of these two crystals, those great learned beings obtained from the white ray its positive colored rays. And then by means of the slab Polarish Buddha, which was a part of the new Sotripanna, any one of these colored rays was directed onto the third and principal demonstrating part of this astonishing apparatus, namely the Riank Pokotarts. This principal part consisted of an ordinary tripod, on the top of which two balls, also of ivory, were fitted one upon the other in a certain way, the upper ball being much larger than the lower one. In the lower, smaller ball, directly opposite the part of the Lusitipano through which the positive colored rays had already passed, was a cavity of a special form, in which was placed either the whole polymedectic product named opium, or one of its active elements required for the experiment. The upper ball was bored right through on its diameter, horizontally, at right angles to the Lusitipana, and another smaller bore was drilled in this same ball, radially perpendicular to the larger bore, but reaching only to the center and directly opposite the Lusitipana. This second bore, drilled halfway through, was made in such a way that the colored rays could be projected as desired, either directly from the Lusitipana or reflected from the cavity of the lower, smaller ball. Through the open bore in the larger ball, there could be freely moved what is called a bamboo cane, previously prepared in a special manner. A long time before the experiment, numbers of these bamboo canes were soaked together in conditions of absolute darkness, or in orange light, as it is said there on the earth, obtained from burning simkalash, which was obtained from a certain kind of clay, usually deposited in the soil of your planet, near accumulations of salunlilovian acids, which in their turn are formed from masmolin, or as your favorites call it, naphtha. These bamboo canes were soaked in a liquid consisting of, one, the whites of eggs from the bird called Amer samarskanara, two, the juice of the plant called Chiltunach, three, the excretion of a quadruped being bearing the name of Kesmaral, four, a specially prepared amalgam of mercury. When these bamboo canes had been thoroughly soaked, they were inserted one by one into thicker bamboo canes, not prepared in this manner, the ends of which were hermetically sealed. These latter preparations were, of course, also made in absolute darkness or in the orange light of Simkalash. Later, when one of these soaked bamboo canes was required for an experiment, one end of the thicker, unsoaked cane was inserted in a special way into the bore which was drilled right through the large ball of the Riank Pokotarts and was opened by a small hook fixed to a thin rod by means of which the soaked cane could be moved at any desired speed. Now the action of the liquid I have described was such that the part of the soaked bamboo cane on which a colored ray fell, whether coming directly from the Lusitipana or after having been reflected from the cavity of the lower, smaller ball, was instantly and permanently dyed the same color as the ray that had fallen on it. The exposed parts of the soaked bamboo canes were also dyed the colors corresponding to the vibrations of sound which reached them and which were produced by the strings attached to the middle part of the apparatus called Zenvoch. This Zenvoch consisted of a very strong frame of a special form made from the tusks of mammoths, on which were stretched many strings of various lengths and thicknesses, some made from twisted goat gut and some from the tail hairs of beings of various exterior forms. "Tell me, please, dear grandfather, what is a mammoth?" asked Hasin. "A mammoth," replied Beelzebub, "is a two-brained being. Formerly, it also bred on your planet, and it had, in comparison with other beings there of all brain systems, a large exterior form. Beings of this kind also became victims of the consequences of the breaking off from the planet Earth of that large fragment called Moon, which is now an independent and, as I expressed it, planetary upstart of this solar system ours, and the chief bearer of evil to this ill-fated planet of yours. When the atmosphere of this small planetary upstart began to be formed and became gradually harmonized, great winds arose in the atmosphere of the planet Earth, owing to which several regions of its surface, you remember I have already told you about this, were buried under sands. What is more, snow fell incessantly in the regions around what are called the North and South Poles, covering up all the depressions of the land surface of those polar regions. The beings called mammoths used to breed on these parts of the land surface of your planet, and during the unprecedented snowstorms, they were all buried by snow, and since then this species of beings has never reappeared there. It is interesting to note that in these depressions that were formerly covered with snow and later with kashiman, that is, with substances forming what is called soil on the surface of your planet, well-preserved planetary bodies of these mammoths are still occasionally found today. These planetary bodies of mammoths have been preserved so well and for such a long time because the snows were covered very soon after with kashiman, which brought about the condition of isoliasoklanis, or, as your favorites would say, the condition of a hermetically closed sphere, in which the planetary bodies of these mammoths have never been exposed to decomposition, as is said there. In other words, the active elements of which these planetary bodies are composed have not completely involved back to their prime origin. And so, my boy, this astonishing apparatus, Ala Atapan, demonstrated that all three transitory results of cosmic processes I have just been speaking of not only are alike in their inner manifestations, but are also made up of the same factors. By means of this apparatus, it was possible to verify and demonstrate that in each of the three transitory results of common cosmic processes, having outwardly nothing in common, exactly the same reciprocal actions take place, ensuing each from the other to constitute one common functioning, and that as regards the evolutionary and involutionary properties of the law of Heptaparaparshana, the action at any separate intermediate stage in the total functioning of one of these results influences the action at each separate intermediate stage in another, exactly as in its own functioning. And furthermore, that with respect to the properties of the vibrations of which they are constituted, these transitory cosmic results have complete affinity. This complete affinity in the inner reciprocal relations of these three transitory results, which have outwardly nothing in common, was proved in the following way. For example, a colored ray directed upon an active element of opium transformed it into another active element, corresponding in its newly acquired vibrations to those of the colored ray which had acted upon it. And if, instead of the colored ray, Corresponding vibrations of sound from the strings of the Zen Vo were directed upon this same active element, the same result was obtained. Further, if any colored ray was made to pass through any active element of opium, then in passing through it, this same ray took on another color, namely that color whose vibrations corresponded to those of this active element. Or if any colored ray was made to pass through the wave of sound vibrations still resounding at that moment from any corresponding string of the Zen Vo, then in passing through this wave, it took on another color, corresponding to the vibrations produced by the given string. Or finally, if a specific colored ray and specific sound vibrations were simultaneously directed upon any active element of opium from among those having a lower number of vibrations than the sum of the vibrations of the colored ray and of the sound, then this active element of opium was transformed into another, the number of whose vibrations corresponded exactly to the sum of the two differently caused vibrations, and so on and so forth. This incomparable experimental apparatus likewise demonstrated that the higher vibrations of one result always give the direction to the lower vibrations of other transitory cosmic results. After all you have just been told, my boy, you can now be given that information, thanks to which there might be crystallized in your mentation data for understanding what sort of results proceeded from the tenacious and impartial conscious labors of these saintly twin brothers, the great terrestrial scientists, and also for understanding the extent to which the being reason in the presence of your unfortunate favorites has progressively deteriorated. And so, for the second time in the course of my observations of the existence of these three-brained beings who have taken your fancy, there arose in this still quite young China, thanks to the twin brothers, those great terrestrial scientists, an independent branch of genuine science. That is, the sum of the information concerning a special question, thoroughly cognized by the perfected reason of the three-brained beings of earlier epochs, in the given case, concerning the fundamental cosmic law of the sacred Heptaparaparshanoch, then called the Law of Ninefoldness. And during the first two or three centuries after the sacred Rascuano of the great twin brothers, this branch of science was not only handed down almost normally in an unchanged form from generation to generation, but it was gradually worked out in greater detail thanks to their followers, also genuine learned beings, and became accessible to the perception of even ordinary beings. And this happened chiefly because they maintained the practice established by the learned beings of the continent of Atlantis of handing down such information to beings of subsequent generations only through genuine initiates. Here, my boy, I cannot fail to remark and declare with conviction that indeed, if this long-established practice had been maintained, even automatically, in the process of existence of these unfortunate three-brained beings who have taken your fancy, this sum of true information, already thoroughly assimilated by the reason of their still relatively normal ancestors, might have remained intact and might have become the inheritance of your contemporary favorites. And moreover, those of them who constantly strive not to become complete victims of the consequences of the organ Kundabhava, accursed for them, might have taken advantage of this information with the aim of easing their now almost impossible inner struggle. But to the regret of all more or less conscious, relatively independent individuals of our great megalocosmos, and to the misfortune of all the three-brained beings arising on this ill-fated planet of yours, after two or three of their centuries, that blessing created for them by their great ancestors, thanks to their conscious labor and intentional suffering, gradually began to be distorted and was ultimately almost totally destroyed. This followed from two causes. The first was that owing to the same abnormal conditions of external being existence they themselves established, certain of them became responsible beings with that special psycho-organic need which in their speech might be formulated thus: an irresistible thirst to be considered learned by beings around them like themselves. And this psycho-organic need began to engender in them that strange tendency I have spoken about many times, which they call cunning wiseacring. By the way, my boy, bear in mind once and for all that whenever I use the expression learned beings of new formation, I refer to those of your favorites who are afflicted with this special inherency. The other cause was that owing to certain external circumstances of that period, not depending on them, but ensuing from common cosmic processes, chiefly from the action of the law of soliunensis, the being data crystallized in them for engendering the impulses of sensitivity and foresight weakened in the common presence of the genuine initiated beings, and they began to accept into their midst these types of new formation and to initiate them into certain true information, the totality of which was known to them alone. From that time on, this branch of genuine knowledge, becoming the possession of so many, began gradually to be distorted and once again was almost entirely forgotten. I used the word almost because after this period, when a relatively normal process of being existence had been reestablished, certain fragments of the totality of this objectively important and true information again began to be handed down exclusively through genuine initiates, and passing down unchanged from one generation to another, reached even your contemporary favorites, though only a very limited number of them. Most of your contemporary favorites, however, received from all this true knowledge, attained and thoroughly cognized by their great and remote ancestors, only a few practical fragments of little importance that had reached them automatically, and which in the troubled period I mentioned were very widespread among the ordinary beings of this still quite young China. Among these unimportant fragments that automatically reached most of your contemporary favorites are first, several methods of extracting from the polymedectic product named opium certain of its independent active elements. Second, what is called the law of combination of colors, and third, the seven-toned scale of sound. As regards the first of the three fragments relating to the practical results attained by the reason of three brain beings of ancient China, I must tell you that since certain of the components of this product called opium have special properties exerting an agreeable action on the abnormal common psyche of beings, it came into constant use, and therefore the knowledge of many methods of extracting certain of its independent active elements began to be transmitted from generation to generation and reached your contemporary favorites. At the present time, they extract many of its specific elements and use them avidly for the satisfaction of always the same consequences of the properties of the organ Kundebuffer crystallized in them. These elements extracted by them from the general composition of this polymedectic product have other names, of course, among your contemporary favorites. One of their comic learned chemists, a certain Mendeleev, has even collected the names of all those active elements now available and, so to say, classified them according to their atomic weights. Although his classification does not correspond at all to reality, it is possible, according to these atomic weights of his, to approximate the classification established by those great terrestrial learned beings of China.